All children are born with an innate curiosity and deep desire to learn. Then they enter school, and at some point along the way, what was once fun and engaging begins to feel somewhat forced. Anxiety levels and stress among young people are now at an all-time high, and they're bogged down with homework and overscheduled with extracurricular activities and deprived of free play and often faced with the pressures of getting into a top college. In the new book, Free to Learn, Why Unleashing the Instinct to Play Will Make Our Children Happier, More Self-Reliant, and Better Students for Life, developmental psychologist Peter Gray urges us to allow children to take charge of their own education. He argues that self-directed learning and free play permit children to realize their optimum abilities to learn, grow, and develop naturally and positively. Again, the name of the book is Free to Learn, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Peter Gray to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Why is, in our current world, do you think, the art, if you will, of play such a difficult sell?
I don't think anybody's against play, you know, but I think that play has been just pushed out of children's lives because we have gotten so hooked on the idea that children learn in school, and so they need more and more and more school, that children learn under adult direction even outside of school, so we put children in increasingly into organized sports and into other kinds of adult-directed activities. We've gotten more and more hooked on the idea that it's especially middle-class and upper-middle-class families on the idea that it's so important for their child to go to the best college. And so childhood becomes a period of resume building rather than the joyful period of play and exploration and discovery of your own passions and learning how to control your own lives and all of that that childhood should be about. So, you know, I think that when I talk to people, even people who are, you know, the pushing their kids the most, oh, yeah, they're all in favor of play, but when is the child going to have time for it? And then they start talking about, well, maybe I should schedule a little bit of time for play. But, of course, play isn't something you can schedule. Play happens. Play, you just need time for it. And I think what's happened, I mean, when I grew up in the 1950s, so now you know how old I am, we played all the time when we weren't in school, you know, and the school day was shorter. We played all summer. We played, you know, we had some jobs and chores to do, but we were free to play. And at that time, I mean, there's a lot of statistical evidence for this, which I summarize in the book, well-controlled studies showing that over the years since the 1950s, there's been an absolutely dramatic and continuous rise in all sorts of childhood psychopathology over the same period that we have increasingly brought children under adult control and given them less time for free play and exploration. And I argue in the book that there's a causal connection between the two.
You've used the term twice now about adult control, and I'm curious as to, in a perfect world, how much of it is up to the adult and how much of it should be up to the child, in the sense that the play that you mentioned is often very organic within the child's own life.
Children need adults. Of course they need adults. It's the parent's job, it's the adult society's job to make sure we've got a safe world for children to play and explore in. But children also need to get away from their parents. They need to play on their own. They need to be in settings where they learn to solve their own problems, where they learn to make their own choices, where they learn to find their own passions rather than be under adult direction. Ultimately, they're going to grow up into people who've got to make their own choices, who've got to, and so on. And this is what childhood is all about, learning how to do this. And children learn how to do it in their free play. And what by free play, I mean play that's not directed and directly supervised by adults. It's okay if there's an adult there making sure that things are safe, but that adult should not be interrupting, interfering, telling the children how to play, and so on and so forth. You know, especially when it's little kids, you're probably going to want an adult around to make sure that nothing terrible happens. But by the time kids reach a certain age, they should be able to go off and play as they used to, as we used to, all the time. And if we believe that our world isn't safe for that, well, then shame on us for allowing the world to reach this state. We've got to work on creating safe places for our children to play and explore on their own.
Please talk to us a bit about the science and what we know about play and why it's so crucial to children and their intellectual and emotional and social development.
First of all, in my book, I look at a number of sources of evidence for this. One is looking at what anthropologists have found, especially anthropologists who've conducted their research in hunter-gatherer cultures. In these cultures, children actually have to learn a lot. What they learn is to a considerable degree different from what children in our culture have to learn, but they have to learn an awful lot to become successful in their culture, including an awful lot about the zoology and biology and nature around them, as well as the rich culture of music and art that these people have. And they learn it entirely through play and exploration and observation. There's no concept that adults are supposed to teach children these things. Of course, adults will ask questions, they'll help out, they'll help children learn, but the assumption is that children are responsible for their own education and that they do it through play and exploration and observation. And when you look at children in those cultures, as I've done surveys of 10 different anthropologists who studied 7 different such cultures, and they all tell me the same things. The children eagerly pay attention to what the adults are doing and incorporate those things into their play. Now, I, in this culture, in our culture, have observed exactly the same thing when I've observed children at a school, a radically alternative school located not far from my home called the Sudbury Valley School, where children and teenagers, the students there are age 4 on through teenage years, play and explore. They are at this school in charge of their own education, and they play and explore. While hunter-gatherer children learn how to use bows and arrows and how to make dugout canoes and so on, children in these at Sudbury Valley School play at the tools and skills of our culture. They play at computers and games that involve reading and numbers, and they also play in very, very different ways from one another, and in that way develop, find what they're interested in, and go on to careers in those fields. So I have seen, and this school now has thousands of graduates, so I have seen firsthand that it is possible in our culture for children who are not being directed at all in a directive type of school, but who are being given the opportunity to play and explore and learn on their own, can do very, very well in our culture. Now, this is shocking for most people to hear. This violates our basic views as a culture about how children develop. But, you know, it shouldn't. When you look at, we all know that children before school age are doing this. They're exploring, they're playing, they're learning an incredible amount. They learn their entire native language from scratch. You know, they learn about an enormous amount about the physical and social world around them with nobody specifically teaching them. Now we've gotten so neurotic that we begin to try to teach little kids, but anybody who really has observed little kids and raised them and paid attention to them knows you don't have to teach them. They learn on their own, and they always have. And that doesn't stop. That curiosity, that drive to understand doesn't stop when children reach 5 or 6. If we allow them to remain in control of their own learning and their own lives. So those are, you know, my studies at the Sudbury Valley School, my research into hunter-gatherer cultures, and the third source of information comes. I'm a developmental psychologist. I'm author of an introductory textbook of psychology, so I keep up in the literature on pretty much everything, the research having to do with children's development. and especially the research having to do with children's play and curiosity and how they learn. And everything that we know about play tells us that the purpose of play, the reason children and young people and teenagers, even young adults, even us middle-aged adults and older, want to play is because we are the animal that needs to keep learning. And we learn through play. We learn new skills. We learn new ways of thinking. We retain our mental flexibility and develop our mental flexibility through play. And when we become a culture in which we don't play anymore, we begin to lose all of that.
So I guess one of the questions as we wrap up is, as you just pointed out, the children's natural instinct is to educate themselves, and how they can play and how this is very natural. So how do we provide the environmental conditions to make that happen?
That's an excellent question. I can tell you what the Sudbury Valley School does. They provide an environment. First of all, it's a safe environment. There are plenty of adults present. It's an age-mixed environment, and that's crucial. You know, for our schools, we segregate children by age, and this is very abnormal from the long viewpoint of human history. You know, until we had age-segregated schools, children always played in age-mixed groups. Age-mixed play, number one, is safer because the older kids look out for the younger kids quite naturally, and also children don't bully one another when they're in age-mixed groups. There's a lot of research that some of which I've done demonstrating this. They're much more likely to bully one another when they're in age-segregated conditions, which promote competition and so on. So the age mixing is really important. Older kids love to play with and teach in the course of their play smaller kids. Admire older kids. They're actually much more interested. You know, a typical 6-year-old is more interested than in a 9-year-old than in an adult. The 6-year-old wants to be like that 9-year-old. And if the 9-year-old can read and is reading books, the 6-year-old wants to do that. So, and if the 9-year-old can climb trees, the 6-year-old wants to do that. So that's the way kids learn in most cultures where they have the opportunity to play in age-mixed groups. Well, that's an important part of it. That's an important part of the environment that we need to provide, is one that offers the opportunity for age-mixed play where younger kids can learn from older ones and older ones can learn how to be mature and nurturing through their interactions with younger ones. So the Sudbury School provides that. They have the adult experts. They have plenty of the tools that are important to development in our culture. There's lots of books. There are computers. There's a well-equipped kitchen. There's woodworking opportunity. There's a nice soundproof room for musical practice, so you're not disturbing other people if you're playing a musical instrument. There's art equipment. There's sports equipment of various types. So what this school provides is opportunities for children to educate themselves in all of the basic kinds of activities that we value in our culture. And lo and behold, you don't have to force them to do it. They just want to do it. They enjoy these things. Different kids do different things, but they all learn how to read. They all learn how to write. They all learn numbers to the level that most of us ever use them in our actual lives. And those who want to go on in particular areas come to the realization, hey, I'm in control of my life. You know, if I want to become a scientist, then I'm going to have to go to college, and I'm going to have to get into college. I'm going to have to do well on my SAT tests. And so they will decide to study what they need to do well on that. They will have, if they've made a decision to go into a particular area of science, they will have already played in something related to that and will have developed some passion. They wouldn't just say, oh, I want to be a scientist because I think that's a good idea. They would have already developed through their play and exploration some knowledge of what it really is like to be a scientist, if that's what they choose, or you know, if they choose to be a doctor or a nurse or a business person, they would have already engaged in activities that have shown them, hey, this is really what I want to do in life. So that's the kind of environment that the school provides. There are also families who they call them, who are, you know, as you probably know, there are many, many homeschooling families in the United States, and some of them call themselves unschoolers, or they call themselves relaxed homeschoolers, because they don't provide a curriculum for their children at home. They trust the children to decide what they want to learn, and they help the children learn what they want to. And so they provide, this is a little bit like the Sudbury School, except that it's not in a school setting. And what these families find is they have to find other kids for their kids to play with, create opportunities for their children to move beyond the house and get into the community. And these families learn how to make use of, the kids learn how to make use of what's in the community, the museums, the libraries, the parks, the opportunities to interact with other kids that occur in the community. And the parents have to help them do that, especially when they're young. These are a couple of the ways, either through this relaxed homeschooling or unschooling, or through a school like, there are actually quite a number of schools modeled after the Sudbury Valley throughout this country and in other places in the world as well. So this is a movement. It's still a small movement, but it is a growing one, and I think it's absolutely a fascinating one.
The name of the book is Free to Learn: Why Unleashing the Instinct to Play Will Make Our Children Happier, More Self-Reliant, and Better Students for Life. It is fascinating work, and the book is equally fascinating. Peter Gray, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. My great pleasure.
My pleasure.
Again, the title of the book is Free to Learn. It is published by Basic Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.